The Importance of 1799, Ending a Dark Period. Theme text. I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever that it shall be for a time, times and half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. The closing chapter of Daniel, chapter 12, is unique. It contains three sequential time prophecies, the 1260, 1290, and 1335 days, representing 1260, 1290, and 1335 years, which take us to the harvest of the gospel age. When Jesus explained to his disciples the parable of the wheat and the tares, he said the harvest is the ending period of the age in Matthew 13:39. The usual Greek word for end is the noun telos, 50-56, which can mean either an ending period of time or a final conclusion. In Matthew 13:39, however, end is a different Greek word, suntelia, 49:30, which means an ending period, in contrast to a final consummation. The word does not denote a termination, but the heading up of events to the appointed climax. See Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Christians generally recognize that today we are at the end of the age, the ending period of the gospel age, as we would express it. Thus, we are in the harvest. We are therefore in the time of Revelation 14:14, when Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, has returned and is gathering the saints from Christendom with the sickle of truth and ultimately to their home in glory. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Revelations chapter 14, verse 14. In this harvest, Jesus has a crown on his head, indicating his presence with royal authority. This helps us to connect the present harvest to the time predicted in the time prophecies of Daniel 12, since verse 1 also begins with a sign of royal authority possessed by Jesus. At that time shall Michael stand up. The expression stand up appears 6 times in the previous chapter when referring to one entering upon regal authority. There shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, Daniel 11:2, Cambyses, Smerdis, and Darius the Great. Sometime later, another mighty king shall stand up, Daniel 11:3, referring to Alexander the Great. Later references are 11:4, verse 7, 20, and 21. Michael, of course, is our Lord Jesus, the archangel, or chief angel, before he came to earth. Thus, Daniel 12:1 refers to the time when Jesus takes royal authority, which according to Revelation 14:14 appears to be at the opening of the harvest. Daniel 12 then provides 3 time prophecies, 1260, 1290, and 1335 years. It appears that the last of these takes us to the time when Christ returns with royal authority, opening the harvest. Verse 12. Daniel 12, verse 12, is consistent with this. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. Notice the 3 words in bold. Blessed, waiteth, cometh. The same 3 words are found in Luke 12, 36, and 37, where Jesus speaks of his coming at the close of the age. Jesus told his disciples to wait for their Lord when he will return. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. The blessing associated with the return of Christ is a feast of spiritual food, understanding, and truth. He shall make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. This is a fitting blessing for the church at the end of the age, for during much of the age, the Christian world was dominated by papacy, with many corrupted teachings that distorted the actual plan of God. This obscuring of the truth through the ages is connected to the 3 time prophecies of Daniel. Specifically to the first one, the 1260 years. The first refers to the time of obfuscation, the second to regaining understanding, the third a feast of truth respecting God's plan. The 3 time prophecies. The narrative of Daniel 11 and 12 actually begins in chapter 10, and thus consumes 3 chapters of the book. This is unique, for each of the first 9 chapters of Daniel are distinct narratives in themselves, whereas chapters 10, 11, and 12 are one collective narrative. Daniel 10 begins in the 3rd year of Cyrus. In his first year, Cyrus decreed that the Israelites could return to their homeland and rebuild their temple. This return is described in the opening chapter of Ezra. Chapter 2 of Ezra gives a list of the returning Israelites. Chapter 3 records that the returnees were back and settled in their cities in the 7th month of Cyrus's first year. Ezra 3 verse 8 then records that in the opening of the 2nd year of Cyrus, the foundation of the temple was relaid, to the rejoicing of many, but also to the tearful remembrance of its previous glory, Ezra 3:13. Ezra chapter 4 then explains that the enemies of Israel lodged complaints against them, which caused the temple building to cease unto the 2nd year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. See Ezra 4:24. Back in Babylon, Daniel heard of the cessation of the work and was troubled. This was the cause of his prayer to God and 21 days of semi-fasting seeking God's grace. The 21 days themselves are predictive in nature, for from the 3rd year of Cyrus, 536 BC, until the ultimate completion of the temple in 515 BC, there would be 21 years. See Ezra chapter 6, verse 15. The temple of God refers symbolically to the gospel-age church. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Thus, it is interesting to observe that the development of the church class takes portions of 21 centuries to complete. Israel's temple was delayed due to the influence of its enemies. So also with the church, the centuries of the gospel age have seen its enemies cloud the truth, persecute saints, and work against the completion of the spiritual bride class that Jesus has been cultivating through the age. The 3-time prophecies in Daniel 12 are relevant to this, in this case to a delay establishing the spiritual temple. The 1260 years refers to a time when the papacy would dominate the Christian world, bringing not only confusion of doctrine, but corruption of moral and character values for much of the time. The 1290 years, as discussed in the article, "The Wise Shall Understand," take us to a time when old errors would be recognized and rediscovered truths appreciated. The 1335 days then take us to the harvest time, when a feast of spiritual truth would grace the Lord's people, culminating in the completion of the church. The 1260 years. In the 3-chapter narrative closing the book of Daniel, chapter 10 is introductory. Chapter 11 then gives a lengthy prophetic description of events from Daniel's day forward to the return of Christ. A key text is Daniel 11:31, referring to the abomination that maketh desolate. This is meaningful to the time prophecies of Daniel 12, because they commence from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, Daniel 12:11. As explained in Volume 3 of Studies of the Scriptures, The Kingdom Come, and by Adventist students in the early 1800s, this refers to papacy that would take away the daily sacrifice, the ransom, by establishing the doctrine of the Mass, supposed to be a re-sacrificing of Jesus in continuing repetition. Romanists claim that Christ and the apostles instituted the Mass, but the earliest mention of it we have been able to find was at the Council of Constantinople, AD 381. By reason of this fundamental error, papacy became the abomination of desolation before it was set up in power, which was in AD 539. See Volume 3, page 103. In 533 AD, the Roman Emperor Justinian, ruling from Constantinople, seeking to unify his empire and Christendom generally, decreed that the Bishop of Rome would thereafter be the head of the Christian Church. However, at the time of this decree, Rome and Italy were controlled by Ostrogoths of Arian persuasion, not agreeable to the Bishop of Rome. Subsequently, Justinian sent his general Belisarius with an armed host to retake Italy and secure control. In 538 AD, Belisarius found himself in Rome, but sieged by Ostrogoths. The siege was broken later in the same year. Belisarius, on leaving Rome to pursue the Goths, left the city in the care of the Roman bishop. In 539, the capital of Italy, Ravenna, ruled by Goths, was taken by subterfuge. Thus, Italy was subdued. Justinian controlled the empire, and his decree that the Bishop of Rome should control Christianity became effective. If we begin the 1260-year prophecy at this point, 539 AD, then 1260 years later take us to 1799. In 1798, the Pope had been taken prisoner to France. In 1799, he died in captivity. Papacy was temporarily headless, as the French government refused to allow the election of a successor pope. Other countries did provide for this some months later. Nicholas Cheetham, a writer of papal history, also recognizes 1799 as a turning point for papacy. In his book, A History of the Popes, 1982, he closes chapter 19 with the events of the year 1799. Also supportive of this date is an article by Brother Richard Doctor, The Papal Millennial, Beauties of the Truth, November 2017. On page 7 is testimony that the famous crowning of Charlemagne by Pope Leo III was on Christmas Day of 799 AD. This act signaled a higher claim for papacy, not merely as leader of Christians, but with claims of authority over even political rulers. Notably, from 799 to 1799 is 1,000 years. This millennium is a counterfeit of the true one to be controlled by Christ and the Church. Computing 1,260 years. The long prophetic narrative that takes us to Daniel 12 closes with Daniel 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The angel is telling Daniel that the long prophecy just given is not for Daniel to understand. At the time of the end, then the prophetic understanding would be available. That is the knowledge that was to be increased. In Daniel 12, 5 through 6, Daniel saw two other angels, one on either side of the river, speaking with Gabriel, the angel over the river. In verse 7, Gabriel gives the time prophecy a time times and half a time. The second word times is in the dual, thus 1 plus 2 plus 1 half, or 3.5 times total. Daniel would have known this summed to 3.5 times, but he would not have known the duration of the prophetic time. However, he would have remembered that 3.5 times was also the period mentioned in Daniel 7:25, respecting the time that the dreadful horn of Daniel 7:8 would have power to make war with the saints and prevail against them in Daniel 7:21. This refers to the time papacy, growing from the Roman beast, would have power and persecute many saints during the age. It would not be until Revelation was given that the length of the 3.5 times would be clarified. The period is referred to 5 times in Revelation, 42 months in Revelation 11:2 and 13:5, 1260 days in Revelation 11:3 and 12:6, and 3.5 times in Revelation 12:14. These references show that the times are prophetic years of 12 months each, with 30 days per month. Thus, 3.5 times times 12 months times 30 is 1,260 days. Prophetic days are fulfilled as years, as often in prophecy. Ezekiel 4, verse 6, I have appointed thee each day for a year. Thus, if the 1,260 years of papal dominance is recognized as extending from 539 to 1799, then we have the following. 1,260 years ends in 1799. 1,290 years ends in 1829. And 1,335 years ends in 1874. From this time forward, the saints have been spiritually nourished by an understanding of God's plan more deeply than in any previous period of the Church.